All right, welcome back to See You at the Show. We have summer theater definitely kicking in back in Champaign, Urbana. Shows are opening up this week. Shows are continuing this week. We have some auditions to talk about as well. First, let's talk about what is coming up. Wizard of Oz, which doesn't open until 8/1, is being put on by Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, CUTC, and they've made a public appeal for help with their set build. So if you're interested in getting involved with theater at the level of assisting with a production, you should go to the Facebook page of Set Build for Wizard of Oz on Facebook, or you can email tech@cutheaterco.org. Again, that's an exciting production that opens 8/1 and runs for a couple of weeks. Jeff Dare is directing, and I know that they already have rehearsals underway. At the Twin City Theater Company, Emma, a pop musical, enters into their second week starting tomorrow night. This is at the Soto Theater Company, downtown Champaign. They had a great opening week, and their final three shows run this week, Friday through Sunday. There have been other reviews that have gone out about Emma. It's kind of a Jane Austen hybrid with very kind of like girl power pop songs that anybody who was awake during the 80s and 90s will know very well. Go see it. It's very well done. I've talked to people just today who saw it. Leads are very strong, and I'll be doing a bigger review later on. Auditions coming up are not in Champaign, but actually in Monticello. Play Witness for the Prosecution, put on by Monticello Theater Association and directed by the legendary Leonard Rumery. Auditions are coming up this weekend, so Saturday, July 6th, Sunday, July 7th. I'm trying to time my reading with some Hamilton instrumental, and it's not going that well. So you can go to the Facebook page for the Monticello Theater Association, or you can just go to their webpage. There are parts for men and women, 18 and over. One female role needs to have a German accent. Another one needs to have a New Yorker accent. I couldn't get my wife to do it, but she's got a good one, being from the Bronx and all. And then there's also a Scottish or Irish accent that's wanted. So there's lots of non-speaking parts. The director is encouraging people who haven't been involved in theater, but maybe want to dabble. This is fun because there's going to be a jury. And so there's some non-speaking parts and some other parts just to be involved in on stage, but you don't have to have a whole lot of experience. The rehearsal schedule is going to be relatively light, and the show doesn't open until September. So consider that if you've been thinking about dabbling in local theater. All right, turning to what is hot in town, and that is opening night, coming up tomorrow night at the station. Everybody knows that I view the station as really hallowed ground in this town. Once you've done something at the station, you have made it in local theater. And I am fortunate today to be joined in the studio by the director and two of the leading actors in Trestle at Pope Lick Creek. I'd had trouble saying that for the first couple weeks I was hyping it up, but I think I've got it down now. This is a play that's going to be doing the regular 13-show run at the station, or maybe it's only 12 with today being a holiday. Usually station shows open on a Thursday, and this one opens tomorrow night. The director is Saskia Bakker, and she is here in the studio with me. Hello, Saskia.
Hi.
Hey, welcome. This is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad I get to be actually on air with you this time.
Yeah,
you in person.
Right. We did a little preview of the station summer earlier, and you called in from Chicago, which is where you are a student. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I go to the theater school at DePaul University in Chicago.
And you are a recent grad of Urbana High School?
Yeah. I graduated last year. 2018. Yeah.
So that's what kind of freaked me out when we were doing our first show, because I had no idea you were so young.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a huge undertaking to not just direct, but to direct at the station theater. How is it going?
Yeah, well, it's been a huge honor to get this opportunity overall. I'm really excited to bring back some of what I've learned in school and just be involved in local theater. I've grown up seeing shows at the station, but I only first helped out with the show last summer. I helped out with the Aliens as a production assistant, and then I was talking to some people and they were like, yeah, just submit a show, it doesn't matter how much experience you have or how old you are, if they like what you submitted and if it works well with their season, then they're gonna give you a shot. So I'm really glad that I have this opportunity. It's truly incredible.
So as a student at Urbana, you directed a show there also, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, I first started realizing that I wanted to go into directing at the end of my junior year. And so my senior year, we started a new class at Urbana with my director, Tim Broker, and he started an acting class, which was like an add-on to the normal drama class. And the acting class would be a little bit more intense. And I felt like I wouldn't get that much out of an acting class, but I asked if I could do a TA position, and he said I could. And then I was like, I have this idea. How about we put on this show? I read this play that I really like, which was Eurydice by Sarah Ruhl. So we decided the best way for people to get acting experience, and it was really interesting because all but maybe two of the people in the actual production had never actually acted on stage before. So the best way to get people experience with that and experience with the technical side of things was to actually have a performance, and it was really fun.
So I hadn't heard of Trestle at Pope Lick Creek before. How did you come to be aware of it and be enthusiastic about directing it?
Yeah, Gabe, actually, who plays Dalton, first mentioned the show to me a while ago, just in passing, and I didn't read it then, but then our winter quarter at DePaul, I stage managed One Flea Spare by Naomi Wallace. And during those long nights, I stage managed with someone else because it was what we call a crew assignment. And sometimes I would have free time, so I started reading an anthology of Naomi Wallace's plays because I loved One Flea Spare so much. And The Trestle at Pope Lick Creek was the last in the anthology. And when I got to it, it was so much more about what it means to grow up than any of her other plays. And it's kids growing up in the Midwest somewhere, in a small town where there isn't that much hope for their future, which I definitely can relate to. So
this the period is Great Depression. Are you staying with that? And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Naomi Wallace does a lot of very based, all of her plays are very rooted in history. She actually dedicated this play to Howard Zinn, and who she's worked with many times before. And it's in the Great Depression, and there's some very specific events that are mentioned that like kind of has to keep it in the Great Depression. But I'm really interested in how people will find the similarities and the commonality despite the distance of time when they see the show. And the language isn't necessarily historically accurate, but it's not really present-day language either. I think her language stands out in all of her plays the most, and it's very lyrical and poetic. And so I think it's going to be really fun.
So the young stars of the show are named Dalton and Pace, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we have them in the theater with me, and Kat Blakesley.
Yes.
Hi, Kat. And we have Gabe Halstead Alvarez.
Yes.
Hi, nice to see you guys. Tell me, I haven't seen either of you in local theater, but Kat, I believe you come out of Mahomet, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I saw Chris Tabor is somebody who's directed my son, and
incredible.
I saw she posted on Facebook today how excited she was to see you at the station, so... tell me a little bit about your acting career so far.
Well, I didn't really do anything in acting until high school, and that's when I met Chris Tabor and became very, very involved in theater, found out it was a huge passion of mine, and it is one of my majors now at Tulane University in New Orleans.
Oh, what year are you there?
I'm a rising junior.
Okay, great. And did you have any memorable shows or roles while you were at Mahomet?
Oh, gosh.
or give me one or two just in case I saw it.
I'd have to say my two senior year roles were my favorite, which were I was acting under Chris Tabor in The End of the World with Prom to Follow, and then in Grease.
Okay. And Gabe, what is your acting background?
Yeah, my acting background. I started getting into acting around, I would say, when I was like 9. I just moved to Champaign from Atlanta and saw my sister in a production of Les Mis over at Central High School with LaDonna Wilson, and went in the CUTC production of that next year. And then I fell in love with it, and I went to Interlochen Arts Academy for high school to study acting, and then now I'm at DePaul.
Okay. So you did not go to high school locally?
I went to boarding school.
Okay, we missed out on your talent. So you did. So at Interlochen, was that a chance for you to explore theater?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a conservatory-styled high school program. So basically what it is you wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning at like 8 a.m. and then you go till 10 p.m. with rehearsal. But 8 a.m., you know, voice movement classes, all of that good stuff.
Okay, so Saskia mentioned that that Trestle is something that you had come across. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was looking for monologues for college. So what we do is we have a monologue class at where I went to high school to prepare you for college auditions. And I was downstairs in the library. It was about like an hour, I would say, till I had to sign in. And I have this vivid memory of like this play just kind of being like on the table. And I picked it up and I started to read it, and I started to get creeped out because I was sitting in a dark room in a script library in the basement of a theater. And I was like, I'm going to pick this up and head to my room and read it. And it just really surprised me, and a lot of things jumped out at me. And it was definitely by far, out of all the plays I read at that time, the one that threw me into the story the most.
And so how is the experience of bringing it to life different than maybe what you imagined it would be when you read it?
Yeah, I would say, I'd say it's very different from when I was looking at it from the perspective of a 16-year-old or 17-year-old looking for college audition pieces to now me being 21 and then trying to play a 16-year-old and attempting to do that, and then remembering all my tendencies, bringing them back to my nature on stage.
Okay, so this is I would say it's, do you describe this as being a dark play, Saskia?
Yes. Or,
okay. Just a little bit.
We're trying to milk it for as much humor as possible.
Well, I don't know if
there's not much.
If sharing a picture of a gun being pointed at David Heckman's head is a way to keep it fun.
I know.
I saw that. I've acted with David before.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's fantastic.
And so he is. So setting the scene character-wise, we have. Dalton and Pace are the main characters. It's mm-hmm. their story.
Yes.
And then it's Dalton's parents.
Yes, Dalton's
that are
parents.
Jin and
Dre.
So Dre is Heckman.
Yes.
Okay.
Dre is played by David Heckman, and Jin is played by Christine Degarens.
Okay. Are there other? There's kind of a. Who's the other character that has the long monologues?
The jailer.
Okay. Right.
That's his name is Chas. Except you never actually learn his name in the script. He's just kind of the jailer. But that is played by Kevin Wickart.
Okay. And when I was reading through the script yesterday, and it seemed as though does he move the plot some? Or those are really long, long mm-hmm. monologues, like maybe three of them, right, that he has?
Yeah, he has quite a few. It's more a lack of response on Dalton's behalf that creates those really long monologues. But the play does jump back and forth. It's a non-linear timeline, and when we are in the jail, we know it's like present, and when we are anywhere else, most of the time we know it's the past. And so I also think that we see a big difference from just scene to scene in who Dalton is as a person, and he's like talkative and fun and a little bit immature and not that grown up yet in some scenes, and then you go to another one and he's like silent and brooding, and Gabe does a great job of that. But that's kind of his lack of response to the jailer, Chas, and then when he does respond, it really stands out and it becomes a big thing.
So that sounds quite challenging, Gabe, and I saw that these transitions are really abrupt. I don't think you get there's not a scene in between. Like, there are some transitions where there's not a scene in between, right? You go from the jail, and then suddenly you're back, and you're just out with Pace, running around?
Yeah, it's been really challenging, but Saskia has been really helpful throughout that process, and you know, taking this breath in between the scenes and trying to remember exactly where I am in the timeline. And I think what really helped with that was me going through the script and then finding the clear moment before, so in the moment after every scene ends, and then finding the storylines of what happened in between the scenes and creating that like almost imaginative story for myself so I can know what happened between those scenes.
Is it emotionally draining to do, because I know you're doing, you've had dresses, tonight's final dress, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. We're ready to open.
So does it, because I think the two of you go through such an arc, and I guess it's not really an arc because it bounces back mm-hmm. and forth, mm-hmm. but it's, I don't know, I can't, I'm going to see it, I can't come tomorrow, so I'm going to see it Saturday, but I imagine that it's going to be very challenging for you to do the back-to-back nights. This is going to be a real test emotionally, right? Does it leave you kind of feeling drained?
It's kind of a mix, because it's such an exciting and powerful story to tell that you want to give it everything that you have, so you're a little bit emotionally drained, but also it's very rewarding as an actor to be able to create this story and to be able to really tell who they are and bring it to an audience.
Yeah. So there's an unusual kind of or an interesting configuration of the theater, right? You have it mm-hmm. Like a, how do you describe it?
People call it aisle style. I typically call it alley style.
Alley style or train track style.
Seating. Yes. We were going for the idea of length on the stage.
Right.
Because most of it takes place underneath a trestle, or underneath the train. A trestle is like the thing that holds up the train tracks when it like goes over, when it forms a bridge. So I wanted to play with that idea of length, because we talk about running forward. There's this idea of the timeline, past, present, and future, which again is all mixed up in the end, but this idea of something moving forward, this the Pace and Dalton are constantly talking about how fast they can run, because when in a time like the Great Depression, it doesn't matter what you own or what you can be when you grow up, because everyone is just kind of stagnant, so it matters how fast you can run and if you can move forward at all. So we were playing with that idea of length, and also I haven't really seen that many shows at the station that change up the seating that often. It's not to say that they don't do it, I don't see every station show because I'm in Chicago, but I was really interested in the past few shows I saw were all the same seating, so I was like, let's mix it up a bit.
You're right. There has been a streak where there's been not just the same seating, but almost a very similar set as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And I have seen most of the changes that I've seen have been flipping north and south. So I don't know. So it's going to be really interesting sitting across from other audience members. And I think that the train track vibe, and so the trestle then is just at one end. Is there just one trestle?
No, there are two. There's one on either end. Cool. It's on stage the entire time. Those are our big set pieces, but the playing space between the two trestles is a very liminal space, and is the house, the jail, the trestle, and something in between.
What was the word you used? Liminal?
Liminal.
Do either of you know what liminal means?
Liminal.
Not a clue.
Did you just make that up?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's just a really like Squagwort idea for a show.
What?
Squagwort?
What's that?
I just made it up.
Okay.
You guys have a really awesome trailer. Let's listen.
Cut me open and things weren't just things after that. They were more. What they'd once been and what they could be. Besides, I was just a kid.
Like any other, you didn't care.
I never even thought about it. But then one day, I wasn't sure. She did that to me. She made me hesitate in everything I did. I was unsure. Look, it's not a cup anymore. It's a knife.
I could cut you open and see my face.
Wow.
Pretty intense. That's
really intense.
Yeah.
Protagonist Pizza gets a shout out. That was good.
Yes.
And the visuals. Yeah. I mean, I put a link to it on the See You at the Show page. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Trestle at Popelick Creek, which opens at the station tomorrow. Check out the trailer, because that's fun.
It was really fun.
It looked like we were going to get to see you run, but we didn't. Do we get to see you?
We kept filming her running, and she kept running too fast. So we couldn't. But it was really great. I knew I wanted Kat for part of the trailer, I wanted Kat on the train tracks outside the station, because I really loved the August Osage County trailer, which it shows people, the actors and the theater. And so I wanted people to make the connection between train tracks and the station theater. And then when we were walking, Kat and I saw these, I think it's the Boneyard Creek area. There are these like old trestles. Yeah. They're actual trestles. And so we had them climb on them. I know, it was really cool.
Well, one of the things is that you're not supposed to cast like good looking people on these roles, right? So how are you going to deal with the, we got a very good looking cast, and you're going to be trying to tell a story.
Neither one is supposed to be good looking. But.
So good luck with that and makeup. Makeup's going to be going the other way than it usually does. So is that, Kat, is that being kind of this a tomboyish character? Is that something you had that's different for you?
Not really. The character of Pace was an odd one for me because it was really easy to identify with what she wanted in life and the need to become something, the need to be something different than what was expected of her. And then also that with the way that she ends up doing it, it's just, it wasn't that difficult to be a tomboy because I do live on a farm, but it was.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
Her means to it were different than what I was expecting.
Saskia, you directed Eurydice, and one of the things when I was reading this play, and if you listen to my show, you know I'm completely obsessed with Hadestown.
Oh,
and so
join the club.
And join so, the club. But I feel like there are some similarities. I might be comparing everything in my life right now to Hadestown, but we have train tracks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have this concept of looking back, mm-hmm. determining. Getting goosebumps, but determining like fate.
Yeah.
Like, do you look back? It's mm-hmm. I don't know, probably shouldn't do spoilers about what actually happened.
I know.
But there's the look back moment. And in Hadestown, just like we start, we always know how the story mm-hmm. goes.
Yeah.
Yet we sing it anyway. And I guess that's what you guys will be doing with the show.
Yeah.
Is every night it's going to turn out the same, but you're going to keep telling your story.
And so much of the actual play is about storytelling. There's this whole concept of being seen mm-hmm. and being watched and being noticed, and it's just like obviously everyone is seen, but the feeling that you need someone to witness you completing this great thing and being a full person. Multiple characters struggle with that, and I think what Dalton realizes in the show is mainly through Chess, actually, is that he has to tell the story. And he spends so much time in the jail silent because he doesn't want to say what really happened. And what we're seeing in the flashbacks is him telling the story, out of order, perhaps. But and I think he realizes that he has to tell the story, otherwise it won't be remembered in the right way.
Well, I hope that our community goes out and sees the story, because it is a story that I think I'm really excited about seeing. I see why you were both kind of drawn to this, and then I can maybe talk more about my Hadestown analogies. Oh, and it's Great Depression, same era. So thank you all for coming in. I wish we had more time, but maybe after I see the show, we can come on back and we can do it again with me having some new insights. Incredible. But have fun. Good luck with your dress tonight and break legs. You. I'll see you Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. All right, next we're going to wrap up the show with one of my good theater friends in today, Renee Wilson, who is the, I guess I would call her the directress, the creator, the inspiration for a bringing the ability to perform and and observe great Broadway songs by our amazing, talented Champaign Urbana people. I don't know. Did I give that okay introduction?
Absolutely.
Do we have a name for you and your merry crew of performing people?
We don't have a name. We just, the first year we did it, this is the third summer now that I've done this. I'm fortunate enough to work at Cran Arts Center, and they came to me back in 2017 and said, hey, would you be interested in doing, curating an evening of like musical theater? And I said, absolutely. I said, does that mean you want me to perform too, or do you just want me to put it together? Like, no, go for it. So every year, there's so much talent in this community that every year I try to get new people to be able to showcase them. And it's become such a fun event that, people love show tunes. They love being able to just come out and sit for a couple of hours and just listen to musical theater, And
has it really been a year since the last one?
Yeah. Wow. It's typically we do it in July. This year is a little earlier than July than it normally is. But
the first year I saw it, was performed at a church, right?
No, oh, it wasn't. Nope, it's been at Stage 5 there inside Cran Arts Center, really? In the lobby. Yeah.
Okay, so how many years is that?
This is a third summer, third year. Yeah.
And so I don't think we mentioned, but this is going to be next Thursday at Cran Arts Uncorked, and that's 5 to 7.
5 to 7, and it's free. It's a free event, and it's kid friendly, so. We've made sure that anyone and everyone can come out and enjoy it. They do Uncorked every Thursday at Cran Arts Center, where they do a wine tasting, and over the summer they fill it with music every Thursday.
Well, one thing that's unfortunate for you is that you scheduled this opposite probably the most popular radio show in Central Illinois. And so you're going to notice there's going to be a big so don't be when you start out and it's there aren't many people there.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah. Okay.
By like 6:05, 6:10, a lot of people like to listen in their cars, but people will eventually come.
Absolutely.
But they're priorities,
They're priorities, And I did also. It's unfortunate that I am scheduled the same evening as Miss Diana Ross over at the State Farm Center.
Well, that's an excuse to do a tribute song for her. Anyway.
That is very true.
We should have invited her. That might be one of the things where
Diana, come over here for a little warm up. Get your energy going, and then you'll be ready to perform.
See,
you're
that's
welcome.
The kind of thing though that would go viral. It's like when Bono shows up in a little pub. Diana Ross comes. So it's 5 to 7. Tell me who some of the other people that are involved.
Yeah. So this year. Back again, I have the amazing Tommy Howie playing the piano for us. He is such a dream to work with. I'm so fortunate to work with him. Singing, we also have Colleen Bruton, who is the first graduate from the Lyric Theater Program. She just graduated this past May. I have Isaiah Absland and Ashley Guyberson, Mallory Sellers, David French, and Steve Wahala. And then I also have a couple special guests that I might be bringing up. I will be bringing them up.
But. And it's tradition for you to keep the playlist kind of under wraps, is that right?
It is, yeah. I don't always showcase it, but, I will say we've tried to make a good mix of classic and contemporary. So, you may hear some songs from Oklahoma, from Carousel, Guys and Dolls, Hamilton, maybe a little Aladdin, a little Once.
Those are good teasers.
Yeah. Huh. We're very excited. I'm super, super proud of my cast.
And you will be performing again,
I assume. Will be performing. I typically kick off the show. I kind of come up and kind of serve as the MC to kick things off.
Do you think that having this forum has helped you as a performer?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I used to be really, really shy when it came to singing, and I would go up to do karaoke, and that's about it. And it wasn't until I moved here in 2008 and I did a lot of stuff with the CUTC and started doing a lot of musicals with them, and was, in ensemble after ensemble and loved being in the ensemble. And then I think, I was fortunate to do a show at the Station Theater this past fall/winter and did Mamma Mia, and that gave me such a huge boost in my own confidence. I think I talked to Katie Burke, our director, our wonderful director, and we were both talking about how we had a bit of imposter syndrome at the beginning, And I kept thinking, are you sure you want me in this role? So I will say I am kicking off an evening of Broadway with a